thinking about my message regarding the theme. I love how God puts together a theme for us, because I think it helps us to take whatever he's trying to say to us. It helps us to remember and retain that message. And the word wonder was really on my heart. And I don't know if it was because of the movie, although did anybody see Wonder? Pretty cool movie. But the word actually was on my mind even before that. And then I was like, oh, it's cool. It's even, how did they know, you know? So then we kind of put together the connection with the conference and Eyes Wide Open. And we were like, let's call it See the Wonder. And so I want you to see what the definition of wonder is tonight. I love this definition. A feeling of surprise mixed with admiration caused by experiencing something beautiful, unexpected, and inexplicable. Explicable. Explicable. You know what it is. Something that you couldn't imagine being possible. Sounds a lot like a miracle to me. Sounds a lot like something only God could do. A wonder. The Bible is full of stories about wonder and God miraculously coming upon the scene of a situation. I mean, miracles and all throughout the Gospels, healings and deliverances and eyes being opened to understand who Jesus is, which is the greatest miracle of all. A couple months ago, actually in November, John and I took some time away. We were both needing some rest. I was still recovering from my fractured pelvis, and he was going through some things still from his lung embolism in May, and we just needed some rest. So he loves going to warm climates, and so he said, let's go to Phoenix. And he had wanted to take me to Arizona for years. Years ago, he had whitewater rafted the Grand Canyon for a week, and he had loved it, and he was just, anybody done that? Seriously, you guys are nuts. So, he was so excited to take me there. And he said, Debbie, you have got to see this. It's so incredible. And so on one particular day, we drove the 2.5-hour drive from the hotel to the North Rim is what it's called, and of the Grand Canyon. And we pulled into the parking lot, and I could just sense his excitement. He was so excited for me to see what he had already seen. And he dropped me off, because the parking lot was huge and very full, and he dropped me off at the guest center there, and I waited for him there, and then he came and met me, and we slowly made our way, meandered through these sidewalks, along these sidewalks, to where it took this big turn. This sidewalk took this big turn, and there was a grove of trees. And I remember seeing through those trees my first glimpse of this awesome, gorgeous, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just like this incredible creation of God. And I couldn't wait to get closer. I couldn't wait to see more. I was so excited. He's like, come on, Debbie, come and see this. So we came around the corner, and they have this, some of you have been there. Y'all been there? Anybody? They have this like observation deck that you walk out on, and you walk all the way to the edge. And thankfully, I am petrified of heights. Thankfully, they have bars that supposedly hold you in. But I cannot even describe to you how excited I was. And there were probably 20 or 30 people mingled around us. And I was like, I want to tell them, I know the God who made this. I talk to him every day. And he talks to me. Now that's a wonder. That is a wonder. I want to show you a picture. That's me. That's me. Seriously, me trying to keep from crying. Actually, I did cry. I was so blown away by God. The wonder of our Creator God. Girls, we see his wonder every day. We're seeing his wonder on display in this room. Do you know how many girls would love to be in this room? This is awe and wonder on display, right here. The story in the Bible that just, I could not get it off my mind is in John chapter 4. It's, some of you know the story probably by heart. It's about the woman at the well. And this girl was in desperate need of experiencing the awe and wonder of Jesus. Jesus, just to set up the story, he was ministering in Judea with his disciples, and the religious leaders in Judea were getting very frustrated with Jesus because attention was being drawn onto him. And so they were rising up against him. And so Jesus decides, you know, I think we're going to go take a rest in Galilee. He says to his disciples, let's go rest in Galilee. Well, Judea is in the south. Between Judea and Galilee is an area or region called Samaria. The Samaritans were hated by the Jews. There was a lot of animosity towards them. They didn't like each other. Most of the time, if Jews were traveling from Judea to Galilee or from Galilee to Judea, they would go way around so they could avoid even looking at a Samaritan. That's how much they hated them. So they would add a couple days of travel to their journey just so they didn't have to walk through. It was legal to walk through. It was okay to walk through that area, that part of the world, but they just didn't want anything to do with them, so they wouldn't do it. But Jesus said to his disciples, no, we're going to go through Samaria. We're going to go straight north through Samaria back into Galilee. And he said, there's a reason I want to do that. So they started on their journey, and on their second day, they were now in Samaria. And Jesus turns to his disciples as they're coming up to a small town, a community in Samaria. He says to his disciples, he says, I'm tired. I think that's so funny. I think it's funny, and I'm really thankful. How many of you are tired tonight? Guess what? Jesus understands. I was looking at John. I was sitting at the dining room table and kind of tweaking my notes, and my sweet honey was helping me, and I looked at him. I said, I'm tired. And I had to chuckle because I'm like, okay, Jesus was tired, and he kept going, so I can keep going. Right? And he didn't even have Coca-Cola. So Jesus says, I'm tired. And so he sat down on the side of a well outside the city. He just plopped himself right down there. And I think he went to the disciples. He just, you guys keep going. Go get some food. I'm just going to sit here. But you know what? He had a reason he wanted to walk. Jesus didn't do anything without a reason. And he had a reason why he wanted to go that route. He had a reason why he wanted to sit down. And I think he had a reason why he shooed the disciples on. And you'll see it here in a minute. But he shooed his disciples on. He said, you go on, you go find some food. I'm going to sit here a while. It says, not long after he sat down, and this is noontime, okay? Women usually went to the well in the morning in the cool of the day. And they would gather around the well and they would chat with one another and they would tell stories and how are your kids? How's little Johnny doing? Is he potty trained yet? Are you out of Pampers? Whatever. And they would chat, probably gossip. Well, Jesus was there at noontime, so you would think there would be no women there, but all of a sudden, here comes this girl down the path with her water jug. Now I want to tell you about her. She didn't go to the well in the morning because she didn't want to see any of the other girls. She had a past, she had a history that was probably talked about. In fact, if you read in the text, Jesus at one point confronts her about that past, and he says, I want you to bring your husband here. And it's interesting because, which we're going to see in a minute, Jesus started a conversation with her. Within that conversation, he says, bring your husband, which a Jew wouldn't talk to a woman without their husbands or their family present. And she said to him, I don't have a husband. And he said, you've spoken correctly. You've had several husbands, and now the man that you're living with, now you're living with the man, this, which is your sixth man that you've been with. So this girl has a reputation that isn't good. And she's probably talked about, and if she goes in the morning, she's probably ridiculed and made fun of and sneered at. And so instead of going in the morning, she goes when she thinks nobody will be there. It's not a happy place for her. The well usually was a place where it was fun and happy and joyful, but not for her. I want to show you a picture of a well that would be similar to the well that she was walking up to that day. And so she's walking with her water jar, and she looks up, and I don't know, I can envision her kind of walking, not with her head high, not excited about the day. She's done this hundreds of times. She knows the past. She doesn't really have to look at it. But in an instant, she looks up and glances, and she realizes there's a man sitting on the edge of the well. You know, I can imagine that she was like, oh, brother, what's that guy doing there? She'd probably, by men that were not reputable, who knew about her past, she'd probably received advances from them. Who knows? But who knows what she was thinking as she was walking up there to the well, walking towards the well. She might have been thinking, okay, if he makes a pass at me, he's going to be at the bottom of that well. She's probably wondering, what is he doing there? Why? And I can just imagine that maybe Jesus was sitting on the right side, and she had to get her water. She had to have her water to do the things. It's not like she could turn, go home and go, okay, I'll just get the water from the faucet. She had to have water. So she probably thought, I'm not going to make eye contact. Ever do that in the grocery store? Maybe they won't see me. I'm not going to make eye contact. I'll just try to go get my water. I'm not going to bother him. He won't bother me, hopefully. So she goes up to the well and begins to draw her water. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said to her, "Please, would you give me a drink?" She's probably like, "Say what?" "Would you give me a drink?" She was shocked. She was shocked that he was talking to her. First of all, he's a Jew, which was obvious to her. She's a Samaritan. They don't talk. They don't talk to each other. Secondly, he's a man. And he would know when she's coming to the well at that time of day that there's probably a problem in her life. She's not reputable. So she's like, "I cannot believe he's asking me for a drink." And third, Jesus was a rabbi, a teacher. And rabbis would never have talked to a woman of ill repute, ever. So she was shocked. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to say anything to Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" And here's Jesus' response. "If you knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." Yes. Wonder of wonders. What God has for each one of his daughters. Living water. I absolutely love her response. She is a very literal girl, okay? So she goes from being like surprised and concerned to, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "What do you mean? You don't even have a bucket." And that's what she says. "How in the world are you going to give me any water? Are you better than the guy who dug this well and got water for his family and his livestock? You're nuts." I asked Evelyn, our granddaughter, if I could share a question that she asked Savannah, and actually Savannah, her auntie, the other day when she was staying with us overnight. Because honestly, I think the girl's question to Jesus was pretty like, "Yeah, Jesus, how are you going to get water? You have nothing in your hand." Don't you think that's a good question? Okay, so Evelyn was at the house, and Evelyn loves sugar. She's like her grandma. And she'd had quite a bit of sugar that day, Beth, sorry. "Sure, baby girl, you can have another one." So she was sitting in the family room with Savannah. And she was actually, Savannah had gotten some donuts, and she's like, can I have one of those donuts? Is that right, Evelyn? Yeah. "Can I have one of those donuts?" And Savannah, being the auntie that she is, said, "No, you've had too much sugar." No. She said, "Sure, you can have some." And then Evelyn looked at her and she said, "Auntie Savannah, I have a question for you. When actually did you lose your sweet tooth?" Is that not the smartest granddaughter you have ever, or smartest question from a granddaughter that you've ever heard? I was like, "That is so smart, of course. When we all love to lose it." But I thought of that, her question, when I was reading this, because I thought, that's a good question. "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket." and this well is very deep. Jesus answered, anyone who drinks this water, the water in the well, will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling fountain deep within their soul and gives them eternal life. Wow. That's a wow. That's a wonder. And then she says, you just begin to see her like, begin to soften and question, please, sir, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come and get water anymore. Do you know what she's saying? She's not saying, oh, good, I won't ever have to walk to the well and get water to do my dishes. I'll have it at home. She's not saying that. She's saying, I'll never have to be ridiculed again. I'll never have to experience the shame of walking to the well when nobody else is there and thinking, I'm a failure, thinking about my past, thinking about my present, thinking about the ridicule I receive and the looks. The well was not a happy place. So she's like, oh, that would be wonderful, Jesus. Give me that water so I don't have to come here again. Then Jesus says that question that I told you about earlier. And he does it on purpose because he understands her heart. He understands the weight and burden and the brokenness that she carries. And he says, go get your husband. It's a gentle way of saying, I want you to think about some things, baby girl. Go get your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. And he says, you're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands. Oh my goodness, I bet she was just like, you've got to be kidding me. How does he know? How does he know? And the man you're married to, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now, you certainly spoke the truth. She said, oh my goodness, you must be a prophet. You must be a prophet. I want to pause there for a minute, just for actually 5-10 more minutes. And we're going to have an amazing production piece here. I want to give you 5 wonders. And if you're writing, 5 wonders that are found in this portion of scripture. We're going to go through them very quickly. Number one, the wonder of the worth of one girl. Girls, every one of you is of great worth to God. Yeah. Do you know what? He was here before you came here tonight so that he could meet with you. He knows everything about you. You might say, Debbie, I'm just an ordinary everyday girl. I don't have much to offer. Or you may say, like her, Debbie, I'm less than ordinary, because that's how she felt about herself. She felt like she was less than ordinary. Guess what? God doesn't categorize us. He loves each one of us the same. And he offers us the same gift. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter your present. It doesn't matter your skin color. You know what? It doesn't matter. Jesus loves you. Jesus believes in you. Jesus died for you. Jesus came to give you the gift of abundant eternal life. And Nancy, I have to say, I thought it was so cool how you referred to thirsty, how he quenched your thirst. You even said that. I brought this gift to represent how Jesus was here before you got here. And I prayed, the girls actually prayed, because we're going to give this gift to a girl as a representation to all of you of the gift that Jesus has for you tonight. So I'm going to ask Savannah to take this to somebody. God loves you so much, and whoever that gift is going to, I don't know you, but Jesus does. And that gift may represent that he wants to encourage you tonight in some way, just like every other girl in this room, or it may represent to you that he wants your heart to be open to the wow and wonder of his salvation. You belong, girl, every one of you. You belong. You know, the world categorizes us. Jesus doesn't. And let me say, James River Church doesn't either. This sisterhood doesn't. You are loved more than you could ever know. Second wonder, the wonder of an unlikely encounter. The wonder of an unlikely encounter. You know, when the woman walked to the well that day, she had no idea that Jesus was going to be there. Jesus, when he went to the well that day, had every intent of encountering her and offering her the gift of eternal life. Jesus loves to surprise us. He loves to surprise us. He didn't care that people had talked about her. He cared about her. His care covered her past and her pain, her insecurity and her fear. It was enough for every burden that she carried. She wanted to hide, and he wanted to heal her. She was trying to hide. She was hoping she could hide. And then Jesus, his questions went right to the heart of the issue. You've been trying to satisfy your life all these years with everything but me, and nothing's going to satisfy you. And his encounter made her realize that. And that brings us to the third point, the wonder of an unexpected revelation. When Jesus said, "You're right. You're right. You don't have a husband." She's like, "Oh my goodness, he knows." Guess what? Jesus knows all about you. He knows every detail of your life, and he still longs for a relationship with you. Yeah. He longs to be close to you. And for some of you, even you've known him, and maybe you've struggled with a sin in your life, and you're like, "I'm such a failure. Does Jesus really want a relationship with me?" Yes, he does. He looks past your sin and sees your heart and your longing to know him more. And he says, "Come back, I'm gonna help you." And to those that don't know him, he says, "Come to me, all ye who weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come those who are thirsty," it says in Isaiah, "you will be filled." And then finally, the wonder of seeing the wonder. And I love this. "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet." You know, it's so interesting. As soon as Jesus opened her eyes to the truth that he knew everything about her, she tried to change the subject. She says, "Sir, tell me." So this is exactly what she said. As soon as he said, I know about your life. I know it's a mess." And she said, "So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at the Mount Gerizim where our ancestors worship?" Jesus was probably like, Have you ever talked with somebody that you're trying to witness to, and every time you start to hone in on their need for Jesus, they want to change the subject? That's this girl. She's like, oh no, what do I do? Well, I'll just show him that I know something about the Bible. Or I go to church. I know about worship. And then Jesus goes on to tell her it's not about that. It's not about what you know or don't know. It's about believing in me and having a relationship with me. It's about understanding what I have to offer you. And it's like when he starts to talk about that, that her eyes begin to open to the wonder of who he is. And she says, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called the Christ. And when he comes, he'll make everything right. He'll explain it all. I love this next line. Jesus looked at her and he says, dear woman. He said, dear woman, earlier in the chapter, and I'm sure he said it again. It's just not there. I just can imagine Jesus' heart breaking, just desiring so much for her to understand. He said, I am the Messiah. I am he who you are longing for. I am the one who can fill your thirsty soul. You don't have to find another man. You don't have to take that medication. You don't have to buy a new house. You don't need a new car. I will satisfy you. I will satisfy you. The wonder of Jesus in that moment captured her heart. Her eyes were opened. And it says, and I love this in verse 25, you gotta see this, or verse 28 and 29, excuse me. The woman left her water jar. Is that not the coolest? She totally forgot why she was there. Because Jesus had just changed her life. And she wanted to go tell everybody. And she ran back to the village. Ran back telling everyone, come and see. Come and see a man that knows all about me and still loves me. Come and see. Come and see Jesus. All you who are thirsty, that's what she was telling them. All you who are thirsty, come and see. And just like when I was standing on that observation deck, and I wanted to say, do you know the God that made this? I want you to know him. That's what I say to you tonight. Girls that have been longing for satisfaction. You've looked everywhere for that thirst to be quenched. Maybe you're living with a guy. Maybe it's your second or third guy. And you're still like feeling empty. Could be something else that you hang on to for satisfaction, but your heart's empty. Tonight, Jesus is here to fill your thirsty soul. You know, before I invite those who want to come and see and meet Jesus tonight, I just want to talk to the girls that know him. You know, it was interesting in that that story, the disciples come back and with their food. And actually, they're frustrated when they see Jesus talking to the woman. And they start talking to themselves. They weren't brave enough to say it to Jesus, but they're like, he's talking to a Samaritan woman. Can you believe it? You know, if we're not careful, we can be just like those disciples. And we can categorize people. We can even say, well, they're too far gone to, they'll never come to Jesus. So as believers, we've got to believe in who Jesus is as well for the girls around us, right? The people around us that need him. So tonight, I want to challenge both of you, either if you know Jesus or you've never met him, or maybe the cares of this world have drawn you away from him and you need to come back to him. I want to challenge you all tonight to look to Jesus, to come and see.